thought it would be good for us to just to say some things to encourage mothers and also encourage all of us who still have our mothers with us, to give them the honor that they are deserving of, to show them respect, and to just to be there for them. Mothers play a great role in society, again, with the influence that they have in the home and the children that come under their wings. And Paul, the inspired apostle, said something concerning Timothy's mother and grandmother in the book of 2 Timothy. And so we're lifting our subject from some passages there. Some passages that were read, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Let me read them just briefly again, where he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy, being Paul's son in the gospel, had learned a lot of things from Paul, with his association with him, and even from Paul's teaching. But he had also learned some wonderful things from his grandmother and from his mother. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5, he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith," he says, that first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And he says, "I am persuaded that is also in thee." So Paul had learned some wonderful things from his mother and from his grandmother. Again, he says in verse 15 of chapter 3, "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." So it was from his mother and from his grandmother that he learned things concerning the holy scripture. His father was not a believer or was not a Christian, but his mother was. And so she taught him a lot of things concerning the scripture. And she left a great legacy of faith for him. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, a godly mother's legacy of faith. You know, there are many good things that one can pass on to their children, or to their loved ones, or to their friends. Things such as a good reputation, that's a good legacy to pass on. Things like a desire and a pursuit for educational excellence, that's a good legacy to pass on. Being involved in the community and the affairs of the community, that's a good legacy to pass on. And on we could go about many good things that one could pass on. All of these things may very well be useful in perpetuating our well-being. But there is no greater legacy to pass on than one of faith in the Almighty God. Again, Timothy's mother and his grandmother affected his life greatly in his walk with God. They demonstrate to us what a great legacy of faith looked like. Let's then just continue. Let us consider just a small snapshot of their influence in Timothy's life and see how this can be displayed in the lives of godly mothers today. Number one, I want us to consider the fact that a godly mother lets her children know, lets her children see that she herself has faith and believes in the Word of God. That's why, again, Timothy's mother and grandmother could influence him with the Scriptures. If they had not believed in God, if they had not believed in the Scriptures, they never would have been concerned about sharing the Scriptures and teaching the Scriptures to him from a little child. They believed in the Word of God. Godly mothers then today believes in the Bible. They base their faith on the Word of God. And you know, it's not hard to be an influence in a person's life, particularly in your child's life, when you truly believe in God. Similar to what Paul said about himself and his belief that he had in God and in Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, about the latter part of that verse, he says, I know in whom I have believed. And he says, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said he knew in whom he had believed. And I just believe this morning that Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice knew whom they believed. They believed in God, and so they shared this belief. They shared this faith with their son and with their grandson. You see, the Word came from God. It was inspired by God. And when one truly believes in the Word of God, one is inclined to live out that faith or live out the Word of God in their lives. No wonder James says, in James 1 and verse 22, he says, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. I believe Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice was a doer of the Word and not just a hearer. I want to encourage all mothers, I want to encourage everyone here this morning, let's be doers of the Word and not hearers only, so that we too can pass on a great legacy to our children and to those whom we come in contact with. People will remember us as being people who are doers of the Word of God, not just people who just came to church every Sunday. You know, it's one thing to come to church every Sunday, but it's another thing to do what God says continuously in our lives, Sunday through Sunday. When one truly believes in the Word of God, they know that the Word of God not only will do them some good, but they know, and I'm talking about a godly mother now, they know that the Word of God will do their children some good. And so they go about the business of instructing their children in the way of the Lord. And God wants all children and all people to be instructed in the way of the Lord. I recall even when God's people were on their way to the promised land, Moses was given instructions to pass on to the families. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse number 4 through 9. And we'll not probably quote it or read it all, but basically what he says in those passages, that the word that I'm giving to you, I want it first of all to be in your heart and then pass it on to your children. The word was in the heart of Lois And the word was in the heart of Eunice. And they passed it on to Timothy. So he says, I want the word first to be, or the law first to be in your heart. And then once it get into your heart, it's hard, Frank, for me to pass on something that's not in my heart. Because folks will soon figure out it's not in my heart and I don't believe it. And when they figure that out, they'll say, why are you telling me? So first it needs to be in our heart. Then he says, I want you to teach them. When they rise up, teach them. When they lay down, teach them. When they go out, teach them. When they come in, put them as a sign on the gatepost so they can see it as they come and go. I believe this is the type of influence that Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice had on Timothy. They would always, no doubt, be impressing the word of God upon Timothy. That's why Paul could say, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Mothers and fathers need to work together in this, in rearing and training their children in the word of God. Listen to what the Bible says concerning even fathers. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse number 4, he says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but do what? Bring them up. Not send them up, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Then in the book of Proverbs, the proverbial writer said this in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 20 beginning. He says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it will talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. So father and mother need to work as a team in teaching their children about the word of God. They need to pass on again this legacy of faith to their children because they believe in the word of God and they are going to share the word of God with their children. A godly mother, when she instructs her children, when she's there for her children, the Bible even says that her family will call her blessed. We read about the virtuous woman in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. And many great things are said about this woman. Wonderful qualities are given in that chapter about this virtuous woman and what she does for her household. Then near the end of that chapter, it says this, beginning at verse number 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She don't sit around watching Days of Our Lives all day long. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters, the Bible says, have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Yes, her family, I'm talking about a godly mother, her family will rise up and call her blessed. So number one, a godly mother will let her children see that she believes in the word of God and she passes that belief on to her children by instructing them in God's word. Her godly traits, number two, will easily be passed on to her children. I'm talking about a godly mother. Her traits will easily be passed on to her children. But again, they need to start early in life. You know, the Catholics used to have a saying, I don't know whether it still is or not, but they say, give me your child for the first 6 years, and I'll give you a Catholic for life. We need to have that attitude with our children as we rear them up, and particularly mothers, as you rear your children up. You need to rear them so they'll be a Christian for life. Not a Catholic, but a Christian for life. A follower of the Lord Jesus for life. And you can do that as much as you possibly can. I know ultimately the decision must be with them to remain faithful. But if you lay the foundation, I believe you have a greater chance of them remaining true to the Word of God. But it needs to start at an early age. You see, children generally imitate what they see. What are some great legacies that this godly mother will pass on? A godly mother will pass on a legacy like this, one where her children will see that she trusts in God for the best outcome in life, even when she don't understand it all. Mothers, you need to let your children believe and know and see in you that you trust in God for the best outcome in life when you don't understand everything. You know, Grandma used to sing a long time ago, we'll understand it better by and by. We don't understand it just now, how it's all going to work out, but somehow we believe we'll understand it better by and by. And so you may not understand how things are going to work out in your life now, mothers, but you need to trust God that someday, if he chooses to reveal it to you in heaven, you'll understand it better by and by. But even in this life, there are some things that we need to do by faith and trust in God and just believe that the best outcome is going to work out. I remember a scenario in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Elijah, the great man of God. A drought was coming upon the land. God instructed him to flee and to go down by the brook and to drink water from the brook. And the Bible says that ravens brought him food in the morning and food in the evening. And eventually the brook ran dry. The Bible told him, the Bible says that the Lord said to him to go on into Zarephath. You go on there and you'll be taken care of there. He went on into this city of Zarephath. And he found this widow woman there, gathering two sticks, not a whole pile of wood, but just two sticks. And he said to her, I want you to make me a little morsel of bread. And she says that, I don't have much. I'm paraphrasing the story. I don't have much. He says, well, I want you to make me a little morsel of bread, and your barrel will never run out of oil. You'll have meal sufficiently. And she said, but I got these two sticks, and I'm gathering it, and I'm going to make the little that I have. I'm going to prepare that for me and my son, and we're going to eat that, and we're going to die. But she went on, and she did what the man of God, Elisha, said. And the Bible says that when she did that, her barrel of oil never ran dry. She had sufficient food. I'm sure she didn't understand that if I do this, I don't understand how it's going to work out, but I'm going to put enough faith in God's man to do what he told me to do. Mothers and all of us, we need to pass on that kind of legacy. That I don't understand how God's going to work it out, but I'm going to do what he told me to do. Because I believe I understand it better by and by. Yes, that's a great legacy to pass on. No wonder the Proverbs writer said, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, the book says, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Yes, this widow of Zarephath, she didn't understand it by herself, but she acknowledged God, and he worked it out for her. I want to say to us, let's pass that kind of legacy on to our children. What's another great legacy to pass on? Well, you ought to pass on the legacy of being a great mother that is just consumed with good deeds. That's a good legacy to pass on. There's enough of bad stuff going on already. We ought to be involved in good stuff. We ought to pass that kind of legacy on to our children. I remember reading in the Bible in Acts chapter 9, a certain lady there by the name of Tabitha, whose name by interpretation the Bible says was Dorcas. This is chapter 9, verse number 36 beginning. The Bible says there that she was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Ladies, be full, and men, be full of good works. The Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as litter was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went to them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. They were grieving for this lady, and they had these beautiful garments that she had made. They were remembering in their grief, they were remembering the good deeds that she had done. Ladies, and all of us again, if you want folks to remember you, let them remember you by good deeds. Don't let them remember you by bad stuff. So let's try to do all the good stuff that we can do so folks will remember us by the good stuff. Yes, indeed, that's a great legacy to pass on to our children. Yes, indeed. After all, that's what Christians have been called to do, is to be involved in good deeds and good works. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 teaches us that. He says, but you are his, we are his, the Bible says, workmanship. We are his workmanship, the Bible says, created in Christ Jesus. For what purpose? For good works. So we are folks, Christians are folks, that are supposed to be involved in good works. So when we are involved in good works, people will remember us by our good works. And you know it's by our good works that God is glorified. He's not glorified by our bad works, but he's glorified by our good works. No wonder the scripture says in Matthew 5:16, you know it so well, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify the Father which is in heaven. Oh, it's a great legacy to pass on. One, being involved in good works, good deeds. Another great legacy to pass on, I'm talking about a godly mother, will pass on this type of legacy, is one who is given to hospitality. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be given to hospitality. I think of a lady by the name of Lydia. Y'all remember her? She was this lady, this seller of perfume from the city of Thyatira, who was down by the seashore one day with some other women on a Sabbath, and they were praying, and Paul encountered her. And of course, the Bible says, as he taught her there, the Lord opened her heart, and she obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But look at what the Bible says concerning her in verse number 15 of chapter 16. It says, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, do what? Come into my house. Do you see hospitality coming out? Come into my house. And the Bible says, and abide there, and she constrained us. That's another great attribute of that hospitality. It seems, it would appear, that at first they were sort of hesitant to go into a house. Not perhaps because they were afraid, but maybe not to impose upon her. But you notice the book says, and she constrained us. In other words, she didn't take no for the answer. Please, basically, please come into my house. That's a great trait of hospitality. Mothers, a godly mother, will have time for folks. You know, some folks don't have time for folks. But we know, everybody, all of us, need to have time for folks, whether we are mother or not. We need to have time for folks. And to be hospitable, you're going to have to take time for folks. We can't be wrapped up in ourselves all the time. We are here to serve one another. And one way of serving one another is being involved in hospitality. Lydda, this new Christian, was a lady that was full of hospitality, and godly mothers will be full of hospitality. Well, just a little bit after this, they went back out and they got arrested again, if you will. But then after they were released, the Bible says in verse number 40 of chapter 16 of the book of Acts, and they went out of the prison, and what did they do? Entered into the house of Lydda. What does that tell me? As we have just said, she constrained them. She really wanted them to come into a house. It tells me also that she treated them well. Do you think that they would have been concerned about going back to that house if she had not treated them well? Oh, godly mothers will treat folks well. So much so until people want to be into their presence as soon as they possibly can again. Godly mothers are full of hospitality. That's a good legacy to pass on. I can remember back in the days, Brother Frank or Brother Butler, years ago, he was a man that knew folks everywhere. And I don't care where I was going, Sister Louise, he'd pull out his little book and say, when you get there, if you have any problem, I want you to look up Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so. They'll treat you well. Oh, brothers and sisters, it's a great thing to be people that are full of hospitality. That's a great legacy to pass on. Do you think he ever would have told me that if they would not have been people of hospitality? He probably would have said, don't look up Sister so-and-so because she ain't going to treat you well. Oh, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, hospitality is a great thing to pass on. Yes, indeed. One other thing, let me share with you that a godly mother won't finish this, but let me just share this one. Then I'm going to bring it to a close, I hope. Godly mothers will pass on this to their children and those that they come in contact with. She will be one that will do the right thing no matter what others want her to do. Let me say that again. Godly mothers will be one that will do the right thing no matter what others want her to do. Now, some folks don't want you to do the right thing. But a godly mother and a godly Christian will do the right thing no matter what others want you to do. Case in point is Mother Elizabeth. Y'all remember her? The mother of John the Baptist. Mother Elizabeth did the right thing no matter what others wanted her to do. Let me share the story with you just briefly. The Bible says that the angel, of course, came to them and said that you're going to have a son. And his son is going to be named John. Well, when it came time for the son to be born and when he was born, the Bible says that they were all standing around, wondering what she's going to name the son. Look at what the Bible says in Verse number 57 of Luke chapter 1. The Bible says, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins, watch out for them cousins, and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias. That was his daddy's name. They called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of the kindreds that is called by this name. And they made signs to the father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote saying, his name is John. And they marvel all. What's the point of me sharing that with you? Is that her neighbors, her cousins, her kindreds wanted her to do one thing, which would have been the wrong thing to do. Because the angel said, his name is going to be John. And of course, Zechariah had a little problem of unbelief. And so he said, I want a sign that this thing is going to happen. Well, here's your sign. Because you don't believe, you're going to be dumb until he's born. That's why they had to give him a tablet so that he could write. And he said, his name is John. Why? Because the angel said, that's what his name is. Brothers and sisters, that's equivalent to the word of God. Whatever the word of God says for you to do, you need to do it. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care if it's your neighbor. I don't care if it's your cousin. I don't even care if it's your enemy. If they say something different from the word of God, you need to stick with the word of God. That's a great legacy to pass on. You ought to pass that legacy on that Brother Frank, Sister Barbara, Brother James, Brother William, Sister Veronica, you couldn't move them off the word of God. That's a great legacy to pass on. So I say to your godly mothers, don't let anybody move you from the word of God. Let your children know that. I don't care how they sweet talk you. If it's against the word of God, you say, no little Johnny, no little Susie. And I know they don't name them Johnny and Susie anymore. They name them names you can't pronounce and can't spell. But you tell them, no, no, that's violation to the word of God. Stand on the word of God. I'm talking about a great legacy that's passed on by a godly mother. Lastly. Pass on the great legacy of faithfulness in all areas of your life. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 says this. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. I don't care where you go. It needs to be becoming to the gospel of Christ. Live like God wants you to live. That's what a godly mother will do. She'll live like God wants us to live. So as I close here this morning, again, Paul says, when I call to remembrance, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I'm persuaded that it's also in you. Then in chapter 3, verse 14, he says, continue in these things which you have learned, knowing of whom you have learned them. Because from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. A godly mother's legacy of faith. So I say to all mothers, and I say to all fathers, I say to all sisters, and I say to all brothers, and even all of the children. Let's live so that we can pass on a great legacy. Not necessarily a legacy of attaining educational degrees. That's all right, too. But more so, a legacy of being a faithful child of God. That's the greatest legacy that you can pass on. If you're here then this morning, and if you're not a child of God, you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not a member of the church you can read about in the New Testament, the Church of Christ, I want to encourage you to become one this morning. How do you do it? You hear and believe the gospel. You repent of your past sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ and be buried in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Having become a member of his church, then live out a great legacy of faith, being faithful unto death. Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. Would you come then this morning? You're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you're failing to manifest in your life a legacy of faith. Therefore, you're not really passing on a great legacy of faith. I want to encourage you to correct whatever it is. If you wasn't contrary to the will of God, turn away from it. If you need to confess, do that this morning. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, while we stand, while we sing, would you come?
In the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way.
Come to the Lord. Now, you need to come to the Lord.
He abides.
That one that would come, would you come? Would you come? Would you come?
Will trust and obey.